Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
The following is a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 25, Text 55, given by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded on 27th of June 2007 in Detroit, Michigan.
Gopi jana bala bhai vala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, a mime, who was named Visuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, and happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Purported by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic inclusion, oneself is situated within the heart. As stated in the Vedic language, Ed Ayam Atma Purishta, the self is situated within the heart. In the material condition, however, the spirit soul is covered by the material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and darkness. And within the heart, these three qualities react. For instance, when one is in goodness, he feels happiness. When one is in his passion, he feels satisfaction from material enjoyment. And when one is in darkness, he feels bewilderment. All these activities are on the mind, and they function on the platform of thinking, feeling, and willing. When the living entity is carried by wife, children, and home, he acts on the material plane. Sometimes he is very happy, sometimes he is very much satisfied, sometimes he is not satisfied, and sometimes he is bewildered. Bewilderment is called moha, illusion. Illusion by society, friendship, and love. The living entity thinks that a so-called society, friendship, and love, nationality, community, etc., will give him protection. He does not know that after death, he will be thrown in the hands of a very strong material nature that will force him to accept a certain type of body according to his present work. This body may not even be a human body. Thus, the living entity's feeling of security in this life, in the mildest, in the midst of society, friendship and wife, is nothing but illusion. All living entities engaged in various material bodies are illusion by the present activities of material enjoyment. They forget the real of business, which is
to go back to your home, back to
God. At least you know that. Everyone who is not in Krishna consciousness must be considered to be in illusion. One's so-called feelings of happiness and satisfaction is something from material things that are all called illusions. But actually, neither society, friendship, love, or anything else can save one from the onslaughts of the external energy, which is symptomized by birth, death, disease, and all this. Get even one living entity out of the illusion condition is very difficult. The divine energy of mind can sink in three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily go beyond it. Therefore, unless one surrenders completely at the lotus feet of Krishna, he cannot get out of the entanglement of the three modes of material nature. You better get used to it because utility bills are going up rapidly. I was in one of the cities on the west coast in America, and they told me utility bills just went up by 50%. So people are furious. And 2 years ago also they went up. So better get used to simple living. Om Agyat Vinandasya Yananjana Surakya Chakshurnasanena Tasmai Shri Gravi Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovestam Sthapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahajana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Vaijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhavitam Sav He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinamandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sruti Devi Pranamami Hari Devi Vanchana Kapatarvyashta Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vaishnava Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
So we are reading the story of King Puranjan. Is there only one King Puranjan or are there many Puranjans? Puranjan means the enjoyer. So there are many Puranjans. So this story of King Puranjan is representative of the millions of Puranjans that exist in the material world. Because Puranjan means one who is the enjoyer. So in this is actually a story that has been fabricated by Narada Muni to explain to King Prachinda Barishad how the foolish living entity, when he becomes a victim of mind and senses, how he gets trapped in the illusory energy. Now over here, it is said that one of our chief servants is the mind. One who has conquered the mind, for him the mind is the best of friends. And one who has not conquered the mind, for him the mind is the worst of enemies. You know, we are busy identifying, oh, this man is my friend, this man is my enemy, this man hates me, he's creating all the trouble for me. Actually, nobody creates trouble for you. Nobody hates you. Your own mind establishes X as your enemy, Y as your friend. Krishna says in the 6th chapter, for one who has controlled the mind, tranquility is reached. In other words, one who can control the mind, he'll be peaceful and satisfied in any condition. And one who cannot control his mind, you give him the whole world, will he be satisfied? In the Bhagavatam, we read the story of Vamandev. Lord Vamandev is an incarnation of Godhead. Vamandev appeared in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was very pleased. He said, I'm so fortunate that you have come to purify my house. Actually, a sannyasi has no business going to anybody's house. He has no business, he doesn't go to any rich man's house, etc. to get some opulence, or nice prasad, or convenient facilities, no. He goes to purify the conditioned living entity by giving his, by association, by extending his association. Otherwise, the sannyasi has no business to go to anyone's house. So, Bali Maharaj, when he saw Vamandev coming into his house, a sacrificial arena,
He said, I'm so fortunate. You have come to purify me and my family. Not only will I benefit, but my ancestors will also benefit by your coming. Then it's normal tradition, when a sannyasi or a saintly person comes, you serve him. Even in Russia, this tradition is there. When any householder there goes to meet a Russian Orthodox priest in the church, they always take some gifts, flowers, something. And when somebody goes to their house, in Russian culture, there's a very strong tradition how you receive a saintly person. So Lord Bali Maharaj said, what can I do for you? Please ask me something. I'm the king of the whole planet. I can give you anything you want. So Vamandev said, just give me enough land where I can keep 3 footsteps. Bali Maharaj was shocked. You see, you're asking me for something so little. Ask me for something more. You look like an innocent child to me. You don't go to a big man and ask him for something so small. I mean, if anybody buys land, even in Tokyo, where land is the most expensive in the world, you don't buy enough land just to give 3 footsteps. You buy, you know, minimum 100 yards or whatever. So, Vamandev said, he said, no, I'm satisfied just with 3 footsteps. And then Vamandev spoke as follows. He said, one who cannot control his mind and senses, he will not be satisfied even if you give him the wealth of the whole world. And one who can control his mind and senses will be satisfied in any condition. Prabhupada used to give the example of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. The Goswamis of Vrindavan all came from a very exalted background. Rupa and Sanatan were virtually running the richest kingdom in the world. And they had so much wealth that when Rupa Goswami resigned from his government service, a whole boat was full of gold coins. Gold coins! Can you imagine what the price of gold today? So the whole boat was full of gold coins. Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a multi-millionaire. His father was considered to be the richest man in India at that time. And India was the richest country of the world at that time. So, Raghunath, and he had only one son. But Raghunath and Rupa Goswami were very easily able to renounce these opulences and come and live in Vrindavan. Like what? Like a mendicant, isn't it? They were living the life of a mendicant. They were eating my madhu curry. What is madhu curry? Just like a bee goes to different flowers to extract honey. Madhu curry is a system where you have no possessions, but you just go to the different householders every day and beg. And how much do you beg? Only as much as you can eat. It is said that the stomach is the suitcase of the transcendence. How much can your stomach hold? Not too much, isn't it? You can hold a little extra in the stomach, am I right? But you can't hold one whole, you can't eat one whole month's prasad in one day. So maybe you can eat for 2 days in one day. So the Rupa and Sanatan, they had all the wealth of the world. Raghunath Das, his parents got him married to the most beautiful girl of this on the planet at that time. But they were so pleased and satisfied by the process of devotional service that when they retired to Vrindavan, even though they were living underneath a different tree every day, even though they had nothing, loincloth to cover their body, they were fully satisfied. So why is that? Because the mind and senses were controlled. In contrast, Prabhupada gave us the story of a very big lawyer. During India's freedom struggle against the British, this lawyer lawyers make a lot of money, especially in big ones, even today. This lawyer was very rich, and he was giving Mahatma Gandhi money to fight the British government. But then Mahatma Gandhi told him, "Now I want you, not your money. So you come and join me." So very reluctantly, against his wishes, he joined full time. He gave up his profession. But all the time he was lamenting and thinking, "Oh, I had such a big practice and I gave it up." And within a month he had a heart attack and he died. So Prabhupada gave the example. Prabhupada contrasted this example with the Goswami. He said, here was a person who renounced everything, but because he didn't have devotion, he did not control his mind and senses, he was always lamenting. And the Goswamis, on the other hand, at one time they were like the prime minister of the biggest kingdom of the world, then they withdrew to Vrindavan, where they were living under a different tree, like a mendicant, and he was satisfied. So the nature of a devotee is that because he tries to control the mind and senses, he remains satisfied in any condition. And if a devotee cannot control his mind and senses, then it doesn't matter what you give him, he will never be satisfied. Just like Narada Muni, as explained in the Bhagavatam, he said, a hungry man is satisfied when you give him food. You all were fasting yesterday, so some of you have broken your fast and you got prasad, you're satisfied, am I right? So a hungry man is satisfied when you give him prasad to eat. Thirsty man is satisfied when you give him water to drink. And angry man also gets satisfied. You know, sometimes you're very angry at someone. Now when does that anger go down? When you've already shouted at them. You're angry! You shout, you idiot, you this, you that. Then your anger goes down. And in Vaishnava culture, Prabhupada said, if you're angry at someone, you offer him obeisances. And that should melt both the parties' heart. So, if you're angry at someone, you shout and your anger goes away. But Narada Muni says, a greedy man can never be satisfied. A greedy man, as much as you give, is less than what he thinks he should get. Just like these days, I was reading an article the other day, that the very rich, the millionaires in America and around the world, and the billionaires, in the last 2 years, they have tripled their wealth. Double to triple their wealth. And the average American, his income has gone up only by 4.6%. And the very rich has gone up by 2 to 3 times. So why is that? They're not satisfied. They want more, more, more. And that trend is happening all over the world. I was reading an article that showed how the gap between the very rich and the middle class and the average American is widened so much now. Because I think I'm sure it's the same in Canada. The very rich are probably getting richer. The same in India. The very rich in India, they are growing faster than the billionaires in America. So why is that? There's a clear example. They're not satisfied. They want more, more, more. And to get more, they'll do anything. Start wars, kill babies, bomb countries, etc. This is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. He's a demoniac. He's only thinking, what I have now, and what more I need, and how can I get it? So over here it is being explained that the mind should be a servant. But the mind, instead of being a servant, is often the master. That's the problem, am I right? The mind is our master, and we only do what the mind wants us to do. We often say, you know, my mind says I should do this. I feel I should do this. I think I should do that. But the question is, how reliable is your mind? We rely so much on the mind, but the mind is described to be the greatest of all cheaters. If there's any cheater you should be worried about, it's your mind. The mind cheats us more than anyone. 1 minute the mind will say, great! Great thing you become Krishna conscious. God save your life. The other moment the mind will say, hey, where have you got stuck? Do you know what you're getting into? You really want to give up all the so-called joys of life? So the mind is always bewildering us. Therefore, you have to watch your mind carefully. So, therefore, it is said, you should make the mind your friend. And how do you make your mind your friend? By training the mind to act according to the directions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji, our spiritual grandfather, used to say, every morning when we get up, you should take what? What should you take? Your shoe and beat it 100 times. What does it literally mean? I mean, don't take a winter boots and do that, okay? If you started doing it with the winter boots, you probably have bandages and you'd be taken over by the government. What Bhakti Siddhanta Ji meant is, tell your mind, stop troubling me, I'm not going to listen to you. Then the next question is, if I don't listen to the mind, who do I listen to? I have to listen to someone, isn't it? That's like in countries which have atheism as a guideline, like Soviet Union had, China. It's not that they don't worship anyone. It's not that they don't garland someone's picture every day. Sure they do. But they do it to the wrong person. They were doing it in Russia for Lenin and so on. So the point is, we need to worship someone, we need to follow someone. So why not follow the perfect personality? Why not follow the purified mind? Therefore, the scriptural injunction is, follow the purified mind of the spiritual master. Follow the purified mind of the Shastras. Follow the purified mind of the sadhus. In other words, the sadhu presents what the scriptures say. And the individual guru presents only what the Shastras and the sadhus have said. So, by listening to the instructions of the spiritual master, one can determine, one can know what's right and what is wrong. Now, further Prabhupada says in the purport, the spirit soul is covered by 3 material qualities. What are the 3 qualities? Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as soon as the living entity comes in contact with the material world, he gets influenced by these 3 modes. As soon as the living entity gets in contact with the material nature, he gets influenced by the 3 modes. What are the 3 modes? Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Bhagavad Gita gives the example, like rainwater. Rainwater is pure until it touches the earth. But when it touches the earth, it becomes contaminated. So the moment the living entity comes to the material world, he gets conditioned by the 3 modes. What are they? Goodness, passion, and... Now, Prabhupada gives the example of 3 basic colors. Red, yellow, and blue. You have 3 basic colors, red, yellow, and blue, and you can mix them and produce hundreds of other colors, isn't it? All the other colors that you see are the result of a combination of these 3 colors. Am I right? So, there are 3 modes that mix together and create varieties of illusions for the living entity. So just like 3 by 3 is 9, 9 by 9 is 81 by 81 is You need a calculator now. Okay. So just like our desires keep multiplying, these three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, they create a variety of illusions for the living entity. What is the characteristic of one in the mode of goodness? He is conditioned to a false sense of happiness. And he doesn't surrender to the Supreme Lord. But he knows what's right, what's wrong. And he tries to do to the extent he can. But he's not determined that I must make spiritual advancement at any cost. Then there is passion. What are the symptoms of passion? Work very hard. And he'll enjoy to be the fruits of his work. Generally, our philosophy should be Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Sudasara Bhutanam Jnanam Santim Rachati. Krishna is your enjoyer. So whatever I earn, whatever I have, everything should be used in service to the Lord. Just like Thakur Bhaktivinoda said, Manasa Deha Keha Yogichu Murarbilam Triya Pade Nanda Kishora. My dear Lord, I place my house, wife, children, wife, all at the lotus feet. Use them in the sea of faith. Now, in passion, one says, I'm the enjoyer. I have worked hard, I earned this money, now I and my family are going to enjoy it. And when the sadhus come, I'm just going to tell them, here's a token amount, I have too many expenditures now, come back 10 years later. He wants to be the enjoyer. And in ignorance, one is lazy, and one doesn't work virtually or spiritually. Now, these are briefly the symptoms. And in passion you have unlimited longings. You satisfy two desires, then new desires develop. That is the symptom of the mode of passion. Now Krishna was asked, what are the symptoms of one who is in goodness? So Krishna replied, all his 9 gates are illuminated with knowledge. So one who is in goodness, all his 9 gates are illuminated with knowledge, just like he has eyes. So what will he use the eyes for? He will use his eyes to see the temple of the Lord, the deities of the Lord. He has his legs. He will use it to walk, drive, cycle to the temple of the Lord. So we have ears. If you have goodness, you will use your ears for what? Glorify the Lord. So Krishna says, one who is in goodness, all his 9 gates are what?
Engaged,
illuminated with knowledge. And because they are illuminated with knowledge, he also endeavors to engage them. But Krishna further says, at first glance, when you hear about the three wings, you hear about three modes, it may appear, goods is not difficult to obtain. But Krishna goes on to say that as long as you are in the material world and under the material modes, there will always be competition between the three modes. Sometimes goodness will win, sometimes passion will win, and sometimes, just like we see, sometimes you will see very pious Hindus. They do puja in the morning, they give donations. But in the daytime, they're busy, they're serving money, etc. So the point is, one who's in passion is unlimited desires and longings. As many desires are fulfilled, nothing to worry, he's going to have more instantly. To create desires, is that difficult? Is it difficult to create desires? No! You're living in an environment where you have to struggle to control desires, not make desires. One is in the mode, constant competition is going on between the three modes. Therefore Krishna says, hey Kirajuna, you go beyond them. So what is beyond the modes? Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. And in pure goodness your only desire is to engage in service to the Lord without any condition. So we hear Prabhupada pointing out how the material mind is responsible for all our mess. or the material mind is the cause of our bondage. And therefore we must control the material mind with what? Where have you controlled the material mind by? If you're engaged, then your mind is automatically controlled, isn't it? So, therefore it is being said here that even if you come in the material mode, you're still in the material world where there's nothing but misery of birth and death. Actually, this is a good time to preach. It's a very good time to preach because there's so much misery in life today. People are fed up with the Iraq war. People know that suicide cases are increasing. People know that mental depression is increasing in society. People know that people are getting more disease than ever before. On the one hand, they've conquered some diseases. On the other hand, there's so many major new diseases that have come up. And you can also now see the effects of global warming. In America today, they have drought. No rain. And you know how much, what part of the country? No rain in 50% of the country. In many cities like Atlanta, you can only water your garden once or twice a week. Why is all this happening? Global warming. Climatic changes. Like I was told, yesterday was one of the warmest days in Toronto. 2006 was the warmest year in history worldwide. 2006. So the point is, because we are defying the laws of God, God's law is Isha Vashi Dham Sarvam, lead a simple life, with God in the center. But our philosophy today is, take as much as you can, survival of the fittest, and there's no role for God. So when you don't worship God, it mature nature goes on strike. So we should recognize that as long as you are in the material mode, you're not free from the cycle of birth and death. Therefore Krishna says, get beyond the modes. Illuminate all your senses with the path of pure devotional service. So goodness, passion, ignorance are the three qualities within the heart. And one should go beyond the influence of these three modes. Going beyond the influence of the three modes means coming to the platform of pure devotion. Devotional service is beyond the three modes. And you can go beyond the three modes by effectively chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and executing the process of devotional service. So to summarize, the chapter describing King Puranjan's story, as I said, we are all Puranjans. We are all like Puranjans trying to enjoy this material body. But this material body is not for our use. It says in Bhagavatam, one must use one's body, one's mind, intelligence and words in service to the Supreme Lord. Beautiful words in the 12th canto, 10th canto. Krishna says, one must use one's body, intelligence, mind and word in service to the Lord. And that is perfection that will take you beyond the material mode. Hare Krishna.